KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 26 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy here today with a high of 39. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In the news, authorities say two Iowa City residents have died after their car collided with an agricultural sprayer in east central Iowa. The Iowa State Patrol says the accident occurred just before 7 p.m. Friday on the west side of Van Horn in Benton County. The patrol says the westbound car crossed the center line and struck an eastbound sprayer. The patrol has identified the two people killed in the cars, 42-year-old Paul Huffmeyer and 44-year-old Stacy Thompson, his passenger and wife. Stacy Thompson was a graduate of the Exira High School, and her parents are Michael Herman and Judy Claire Thompson of Exira. Also, her brother is Zachary, and his wife Kelly of Austin, Texas. And the sprayer driver was identified as 42-year-old Jeffrey Selk of Keystone. He was taken to the Cedar Rapids Hospital and is expected to survive his injuries. KJAN News Time is 8:01.
This is Alan Josephson from the TV Star Atlantic, your local Dish authorized retailer. You've heard about the Hopper system from Dish, but you don't know what it is. Stop at the TV Store, where we have a Hopper demo system installed for you to see how easy it is for you to experience the best in TV entertainment. We will show you how you can pause live TV, record with primetime anytime, use AutoHop to automatically skip through commercials, and use the new Dish Explorer app to find your favorite programming. With an internet connection, you can also access your favorite apps, including Facebook. The Hopper even has Bluetooth capability, so you can listen to your programming on wireless headphones while everyone else is sleeping. How cool is that? The Hopper is more than just watching TV. Stop at the TV Store at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic to see and hear the amazing Hopper system from Dish. Record ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC plus two additional channels. Feature must be enabled by customer. AutoHop only available for playback the next day of select primetime shows on ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, and must be enabled by customer.
The Iowa State Patrol says four people, including two from western Iowa, were injured and another person was killed during a crash Sunday afternoon in eastern Iowa's Johnson County. The injured were identified as 50-year-old Hussein Yeager and 34-year-old Afa Gela, both of Denison, and 27-year-old Uncle Didi of Ottumwa, along with 38-year-old Salim Goulet of Des Moines. Yeager, Goulet, and Gela were passengers in a 2003 Toyota Corolla driven by Didi. The name of the person who died in the crash was not released. The patrol says the Corolla was westbound on Interstate 80 at around 2:05 p.m. when it went out of control and hit the south wall of I-80 before coming to rest partially on the traveled portion of the road. The car was then hit from behind by a 2002 Ford F-250 pickup driven by 50-year-old Mark McLean of Russell, Iowa. The injured were transported by Johnson County Ambulance to the University of Iowa Hospital in Iowa City. The accident remains under investigation. The Iowa State Patrol Sunday afternoon released more information about a multi-vehicle collision that took place Saturday morning on Interstate 80 in Cass County. As we had reported to you over the weekend, there were two separate accident reports. Both collisions occurred at around 10:12 a.m. at the 67-mile marker. The first accident resulted in one person being sent to the hospital. Patrol says one of the crashes happened as a 1999 Ford pickup driven by 69-year-old Leroy C. Brown of Leon, Kansas, was pulling a camper westbound on I-80. When Brown slowed for dense smoke blowing across the interstate from a field fire south of the interstate, his trailer was hit from behind by a 2002 Pontiac Grand Prix. That vehicle is driven by 19-year-old Cheyenne Smith of Storm Lake. A 2007 GMC box truck driven by 50-year-old Christopher Henley of Brandon, South Dakota, was behind the Grand Prix, and it was hit by a 2011 International semi driven by 63-year-old Thomas Mound of St. Louis, Missouri. The impact sent the GMC truck into the rear of the Grand Prix, which then spun across the median into the eastbound lanes of traffic and back into the median before coming to rest. The GMC box truck then struck the pickup and camper, causing heavy damage to the camper trailer. The pickup-camper-trailer combination came to rest on the north shoulder of the road, with the trailer partially on the shoulder and partially in the north ditch. The box truck continued into the median and came to rest. Henley was transported by ambulance to the Cass County Hospital. The patrol says after the semi hit the box truck, it slowed and began to pull onto the shoulder when a 2014 Ford motorhome and towing a vehicle, driven by 75-year-old Donald Billings of Sun City, California, came upon the crash and swerved to avoid hitting the semi. The motorhome's right side right rear side, that is, hit the left rear of the semi's trailer. The impact caused the car in tow to break free from the motorhome, which crossed the median and came back into the westbound lanes before coming to rest on the shoulder. At that point, a 2012 International semi driven by 22-year-old John Merritt of Martinsville, Missouri, collided with the vehicle that was being towed by the motorhome and the trailer of the 2011 semi. The towed vehicle was pinned to the front of the semi, causing extensive fire damage to the towed vehicle and the semi driven by Merritt. Both semis came to rest on the shoulder of the road, with Merritt's rig partially blocking the traveled portion of the interstate. Westbound traffic was subsequently shut down for about 5 hours and detoured off the interstate, while the eastbound lanes were reopened after emergency vehicles left the scene. Following the second of two major accidents that occurred Saturday morning on I-80 in Cass County, the Iowa State Patrol's 54-year-old Donna Honbaum of Oregon, Wisconsin, was transported to the Cass County Hospital in Atlantic. Honbaum was a passenger in a 2009 Subaru Outback that ran into the rear of a 2013 Freightliner semi. Both vehicles were traveling west on I-80 again at around 10:12 a.m. when the grass fire caused that heavy smoke to roll across the interstate and created a multi-vehicle accident. The semi driven by a 53-year-old John Wetherill of Elsinore, Utah, began to brake for the accidents ahead, and it was hit by the Subaru driven by 56-year-old Charles Honbaum of Oregon, Wisconsin. Neither driver was injured. Elsewhere in the news, the Audubon City Council is set to meet this evening. During their 7 p.m. session at City Hall, the council will receive a project update from the Stage Committee. They'll also act on approving the stipulation of the bargaining unit and hear from Councilman Jason Hawker with regard to the city clerk's job description and city organizational design. Strong thunderstorms brought rain and hail from the southwestern U.S. and Plains states to the upper Midwest Sunday, and at least one tornado was reported. The Johnson County, Iowa Sheriff's Office in southeastern Iowa said that a tornado was spotted near the town of Lone Tree at around 6 p.m. Sunday, but there were no injuries or damage. Tornado watches were issued until midnight for a large portion of central and northeastern Texas and areas of southeastern Oklahoma, southwestern Arkansas, and northwestern Louisiana. Weather Service meteorologist Julie Lesko in Little Rock, Arkansas, said the atmosphere is more stable during the overnight hours, but tornadic activity can't be ruled out. The Senate Government Oversight Committee has set another hearing to ask more questions about government payments to former workers for secrecy and other issues they believe could be problems in the executive branch. Democratic Senator Janet Peterson, who chairs the Oversight Committee, has set a meeting for 2:30 p.m. today, and two Department of Administrative Services officials who didn't come last week say they will appear. They include Doug Woodley, DAS General Services Enterprise Chief Operating Officer, and Paul Carlson, the agency's Chief Resource Maximization Officer. Peterson said she wants to know more about the settlement agreements and how the state handled layoffs during the 2011 restructuring. She says the House Oversight Committee also has agreed to participate in the hearing at the Capitol. Senate Democratic leaders say their questions about government payments to former workers for secrecy and other issues will continue after the legislature adjourns for the year. While lawmakers appear to be on track to end the session within a few weeks, the Senate Government Oversight Committee is likely to keep pursuing the matter. Democratic Senator Janet Peterson, who oversees the chairs the Oversight Committee, has set a hearing for Monday afternoon, this afternoon, for two department heads, as we mentioned, who will testify. Peterson said she wants to know more about the settlement agreements and how the state handled layoffs during the 2011 restructuring. At least 386 state employees have been hired by Governor Branstad's administration without advertising for the positions, but that's not a new practice in Iowa. Critics told the Des Moines Register the practice makes it easier for friends and campaign donors to land jobs. Branstad spokesman Jimmy Center says the unadvertised hires are allowed under state law for certain jobs. The practice is allowed for at-will jobs that come with fewer job protections than most government jobs. Center says another 2,300 people were hired for jobs that were advertised since Branstad took office in 2011. His predecessor hired 604 employees into unadvertised jobs. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, police near the capital of Nigeria say more than 70 people are dead and dozens are wounded after an explosion ripped through a busy commuter bus station this morning as people were traveling to work. No one has claimed responsibility for the attack on the outskirts of Abuja. The suspicion is falling on the Boko Haram terrorist network, which has been threatening to target the capital and other parts of the country. Crews searching for the missing Malaysia Airlines plane have sent a robotic submarine deep into the Indian Ocean for the first time after failing to pick up any possible signals from the plane's black boxes for 6 days. The autonomous sub can create a three-dimensional sonar map of any debris on the seafloor. Also, a new congressional report says concerns about electronic cigarettes underscore the need to regulate the fast-growing industry. The report released today highlights several issues, including an array of flavors and marketing that could appeal to young people, a lack of age restrictions, and no uniform warning labels. The report was written by the staff of Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, California Congressman Henry Waxman, and others. KJAN News Time is 8:10.
This is Alan Josephson from the TV Star Atlantic, your local Dish authorized retailer. You've heard about the Hopper system from Dish, but you don't know what it is. Stop at the TV store, where we have a Hopper demo system installed for you to see how easy it is for you to experience the best in TV entertainment. We will show you how you can pause live TV, record with primetime anytime, use AutoHop to automatically skip through commercials, and use the new Dish Explorer app to find your favorite programming. With an internet connection, you can also access your favorite apps, including Facebook. The Hopper even has Bluetooth capability, so you can listen to your programming on wireless headphones while everyone else is sleeping. How cool is that? The Hopper is more than just watching TV. Stop at the TV store at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic to see and hear the amazing Hopper system from Dish. Record ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC plus two additional channels. Feature must be enabled by customer. AutoHop only available for playback the next day of select primetime shows on ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, and must be enabled by customer.
And the funeral announcements. Mike Shear, age 47, of Bayard, died Thursday at his home north of Bayard. Funeral services for Mike Shear will be today at 10:30 at the St. Gregory Gym, formerly the Bayard Gym in Bayard. Odie Funeral Home in Bayard has the arrangements. Marjorie Maxine Kaufman, age 89, of Oakland, died Wednesday at Mercy Hospital in Council Bluffs. Graveside services for Marjorie Kaufman will be today at 11 o'clock at the Oaklawn Cemetery in Oakland. Reagan Veith Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Arlene Hossie, age 75, of Anita, died Wednesday at the Cass County Hospital in Atlantic. Funeral services for Arlene Hossie will be held today at 11 o'clock at the Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita has the arrangements. Stuart Hayes, age 93, who's formerly of Exira, died Friday in Nebraska. Funeral services for Stuart Hayes will be today at 11 o'clock at the Exira Christian Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Veronica Hodapp, age 90, of Spirit Lake, died Wednesday. A massive Christian burial service for Veronica Hodapp will be held today at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Eileen Phillips, age 96, who's formerly of Guthrie Center, died Wednesday in Ankeny. Funeral services for Eileen Phillips will be today at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Patricia Kincaid Dorsey, age 64, of Atlantic, died Tuesday. Memorial services for Patricia Kincaid Dorsey will be today at 2 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Daryl Duell Fisher, age 66, of Audubon, died Wednesday. A massive Christian burial service for Daryl Duell Fisher will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Dedham. Sharp Funeral Home in Carroll has arrangements. Richard Johnson, age 82, of Greenfield and formerly of Messina, died Friday. Memorial services for Richard Johnson will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Messina United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Messina is in charge of the arrangements. Ruth Anderson, age 90, of Elkhorn and formerly of Atlantic, died Saturday at CCMH. Memorial services for Ruth Anderson will be held Wednesday at 11 a.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Dan Clevis, age 79, of Atlantic, died Friday at his home. A celebration of life service for Dan Clevis will be from noon until 3 p.m. on Wednesday at the Atlantic Golf and Country Club, with words of remembrance at 1 p.m. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic has the arrangements. Gene Young, age 78, of Exira, died Saturday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Gene Young will be Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Jerry Lee Bice, age 52, of Des Moines and formerly of Greenfield, died March the 18th. A memorial service for Jerry Bice will be held next Monday at 10:30 a.m. and not as today, as announced during our 7 o'clock newscast. The service will take place at the United Methodist Congregational Church in Lewis, and again, that's on April 21st. A Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements for Jerry Bice. Henry Hayes, age 81, of Panora, died Sunday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Per his wishes, Henry Hayes was cremated and no services will be held. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has the arrangements. Marlene May Robinson, age 78, of Oakland, died March 27th. A memorial service for Marlene Robinson will be at a later date. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Carol Jean Johnson, age 72, who's formerly of Griswold, died January 24th in Maryland. Memorial services for Carol Johnson will be held on May the 3rd at 10:30 a.m. at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. John David Berger, age 47, of Harlan, died Friday in Omaha. Services for John Berger are pending at Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Della Ann Smith, age 90, of Griswold, died Sunday at the Griswold Care Center. Services for Della Smith are pending at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. And Louise Taylor, age 95, of Atlantic, died Sunday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Services for Louise Taylor are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. The News and Funeral Report brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.